Robert, I got most of that. You kind of dropped out there for a little while. Kind of didn't hold the repeater there for a little bit. But with that, any additional comments or questions? Please. Not necessarily just the magic band opening up, but as the longer VHF, the longer distance VHF system, and they're wanting to play with it. And then, you know, FM mode, AM mode, what have you. So that's some little, I don't know, things that you can throw out there. Back to you, KO4NG. Any other questions or comments? Let me know.
JBQ. I do believe that Robert has on his mind something that is on the mind of most members of the ARRL. What have they done for us lately? Well, just for instance, you have to say protecting our spectrum. The ARRL is, in its legislative contacts with the nation's legislative bodies, both in the Senate and in the House, sponsors bills, encourages bills that have the interest of amateurs in mind. To point to just one singular thing that I was particularly interested in, and that was the restrictions that most HOAs, I happen to live in one, place on outdoor antennas. There have already been two bills introduced in the House, I believe. That's where this has started. The first one failed to come to a vote. There was discussion. And the second one is still alive and on the table, as far as I know. Additionally, and just to impart some knowledge that maybe not everyone is aware of, tomorrow is World Amateur Radio Day. It celebrates the founding of the, what's the acronym? The IARU, the International Amateur Radio Union, in Paris in 1925. And its first president was Hiram Percy Maxim, who is a founding father of amateur radio in the United States. The ARRL declared a week of observances beginning on the 11th and lasting for a week. Tomorrow is the day, however, it was formed. So that's one thing, and you just have to, you know, listen and read and make yourself aware of what they're doing. If you do that, then it will surprise you and astound you how busy they are. But they don't make a lot of smoke about it. You have to sort of keep your ear to the ground. And so just to fold back a little bit on Robert's first question. It occurred to me while I heard everyone else speaking that I recall in my college days, I took a class in debate, and there was a free exchange of opinion substantiated with what was believed to be the facts. And those opinions could be challenged, perhaps even the facts as they understood them could be a challenge. But no one bit another person's head off for having the audacity to speak their mind. And a lot of that is occurring, not in my household and not in my immediate community, but nationwide, a lot of that's going on. A lack of tolerance of ideas that might be different than your own. And with that, I'm going to lay it down as easy as I can. KK4 JBQ.
For the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. What you got, Robert?
Someone needs to clarify this, KD4SRR. Didn't someone try to basically, instead of trying to nick away or chip away at the authority of HOAs, wasn't there an effort to basically invalidate them as a quasi-illegal form of unconstitutional government or something like that? In other words, for them to have a say over another person's property or what have you, they had to basically incorporate in some kind of way, loose incorporation or otherwise. I'm trying to think if that was on the state level or wherever. I know North Carolina, they were going out and suing people and taking their houses if you didn't obey the HOA. And then our last governor, Nikki Haley, tried to dial them back, but, that didn't go very far. But I guess if you sign a contract that says I'm only going to have, wear brown shoes, somebody can make you stick to it. But I think that there is, that's really where you need to go, is the head of the snake. I understand why some people thought an HOA was a good idea, but they never stop. The inch and the mile assertion of that. But, that's another good thing, another good topic, if anybody's interested, is, limiting you to having any outdoor intent or what have you. Anyway, that's all I can think of right now. KD4SRR, back to you, KO4NUE.
KO4NUE for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Well, Robert, you bring up some good discussion tonight. Always glad that you can bring a little spice to the frequency. Sometimes we need that. But with that, I'm going to move on down the log and ask if there are any additional check-ins. Alpha 3 Zulu, please call KO4NUE.
KO4NUE. Kilo, Whiskey 4 Echo, Mike Foxtrot. This is Rob. We're in Gaffney tonight at work.
And UE. Miss Anna and the net. Interesting discussion going on tonight. Please check in N4ZLK, November 4, Zulu, Lima, Kilo. I'm Shane, and I am at home in Cleveland tonight. No traffic, no table.
NUE. Josh and Greer, November 4, Sierra Mike Hotel, N4SMH.
NUE. You and Miss Anna are having a wonderful evening tonight. If you will, sir, please check in Alpha Kilo 4 Hotel Romeo, AK4HR. Name's Mike. Location is at home in Simpsonville. No traffic, no comments tonight, Chad. 73 EDU and everyone on the net.
Recognize those calls. N4SMH. I did not get your name, sir. Can you recheck with me, please?
N4SMH. It's Josh and Greer. Josh and Greer, N4SMH, back to net.
Roger that. I have you in the log, sir. We'd like to welcome KW4EMF, I believe it was, Mr. Roger in Gaffney, N4ZLK, Mr. Shane in Cleveland, November 4, Sierra Mike Hotel, in Greenville, Josh in Greenville, and AK4HR, Mr. Mike in Simpsonville. Did I miss anybody's call up? So With that, we'll move next on the list, which would be KK4JBQ. Mr. Larry, you next on the stump, sir. Go ahead.
UE, KK4JBQ. Hello to everybody on the net, and hello to you, Anna. I don't want to leave you out. Hope all is going well with everyone's day. I had a pretty good day today. Started out, first problem I tried to address, it's one of those modern problems that Chevy Chase used to, well, I think there was a movie, he was the star of the movie, I think, modern problems. Portable computer drives. Not the little ones, the little, USB key drives, but the actual spinning drives. Maybe that's not popular anymore. But we have collected, Donna and I have collected five, I think there may be another one in the house somewhere, six, that are no longer connected to a computer. But they may have valuable stuff on it. So I found one, and then I found another, and I decided to plug them into a computer and see if they still work for one thing, and to see if there was anything on there. And I found from a drive that we had connected to her dad's computer at one time, and of course when he passed away, we inherited that drive, and never took his pictures off of that drive, and her mother's recipes. He had collected family recipes and made them available. You know, he would print out a recipe anytime for something she'd like to make. And I found those things, and I very carefully copied them over onto a drive that's connected to an active computer. And Donna was all excited about retrieving family recipes. So it's just about if you things like that on your computer, make sure they're in a safe place, that you have multiple copies of them, perhaps. Just something you don't want to lose. So I'm still working on that little project, connecting them. The older drives, the spinning drives, they're very slow compared to the solid-state drives. And it takes a little time, a little rooting out what you find there and what you want to save, and then what do you do with them after, you know? Maybe, I don't know. So, well, that's one thing I did today, and I'll let it go and see what you might have to say about that. KK4JBQ.
It's KO4NUE with KK4JBQ. Well, Larry, I found one of those not too awful long ago, 6 or 8 months ago, that I had on the deployment. And it does still work. I plugged it in. I've got a bunch of photographs on there. I looked at about two or three of them and decided it needed to go right back in the same drawer it just came out of. So, you know, sometimes you be careful what you find on those things. But I've got one of them here. I'm not sure how old it is. I think I bought it way before the last deployment, but it does still work. But, you know, that reminds me of photographs. Me and Anna were having a discussion not too awful long ago that, you know, nobody uses film anymore for photographs. Everything's stored digitally, thumb drive or on one of the memory drives, as you're, you know, talking about tonight. And that gets lost real easily or corrupted so that you can't access it. So, you know, I think that may be a disservice as far as photographs go, because you can look at a photograph anytime. But with a drive, if you lose the password or if it gets corrupted, you could lose an entire family photographic history. And that's something to think about. What do you think?
Well, a really interesting point. One I hadn't really thought of in terms of losing what you value so greatly, because the ads, which are still running today, emphasize that you could lose the paper photograph. And of course, if you have recordings on VHS tape, for instance, or Betamax for that matter, that tape has a limited life. It becomes corrupted even in controlled conditions. So you should make that digital copy of both paper photographs and slides too, you might say. And you know, whatever else a paper thing. So there are companies out there that do that. You just put everything in a box and you send it to them, and they charge you their fee and you send it back to you. And so then you've got it forever. Well, you make a very good point that if the drive is password protected, you forget it. Well, there you go. Or it's corrupted in some way. And that's too easy to do. You're absolutely right. Then the digital copy is at risk. So if things are important, you have multiple copies. I think I mentioned that earlier. Multiple copies in multiple places, perhaps. A backup. And businesses, if they make backup of their computers, they make several copies and keep them at different locations. That's kind of an important archive rule, that you don't make a backup and then keep it on the premises where the original is. Because if anything happens to the original, the backup is similarly affected. Let's say it's a fire or something like that. An off-site backup. Well, there's the cloud for an off-site backup, I suppose. Yeah, that's all. Those are all good points. I just want to say again that Donna was thrilled that I found family recipes that her dad had been collecting, that her mom used to prepare meals. And I just felt validated for my whole efforts today, because she was so happy. KK4JBQ.
Probably a trip down memory lane, too. You know, I remember when Mama used to cook those cookies, or Grandma used to make those. My grandmother in Pickens, she used to make fried apple pies. And nobody in the family has a recipe. And I mean, just, you know, nutmeg and cinnamon and just the most fabulous fried apple pie you know, only a grandmother could make. Nobody, you know, can seem to find a recipe. So my mother tried for years to copy it, but it was just something that was just gone, you know. So, you know, I guess you can lose a lot through time, I guess, especially anything in digital format. But anyway, Larry, appreciate you dropping by tonight. Appreciate the comments. But I'm going to move on down the log, if that's okay with you. Please tell Miss Donna we said hello, and I hope you have a wonderful day tomorrow, sir.
And I hope you have a good day tomorrow, too. You really put in a full day's work. And I wish the best to Anna as well. And all those who are still listening, y'all have a good day tomorrow. This is KK4JBQ. I'm clear.
All right, any additional stations, Alpha 3 Zulu, please call KO4NUE. So I'll take that as a wrap up for tonight. Please stand by for my, I'm sorry, any additional stations that would like to direct you or comment, please call KO4NUE.
KO4NUE. KW4EMF.
I was going to make a comment on the comment that was made earlier about guys that were kind of opposed to what we're doing right now, just rag-chewing and sharing ideas and all that stuff. You know, I talk on the Mitchell machine a lot, and we were pretty much doing what we're doing right now, except it wasn't a net. And a guy come in and told us we needed to get back to communication instead of what we were doing. And my thing is, well, you know, if we don't do what we're doing right now, we won't know how to use the radio when an emergency happens.
You are exactly right. You are exactly right. So, I know, you know, some people that, you know, collect GMRS radios or the radios you get at Walmart in case there's an emergency or whatnot. But, you know, it takes a lot to use the learn to use the radio. And the speech, the acronyms, and how you carry yourself on a radio, that is a learned skill. And I think everybody recognizes that because of, you know, Mike Fright, and, you know, you go get your license, and sometimes it's a while before you transmit, and it's difficult to just key the mic for various reasons, a lot of anxiety with that. But, you're right, you can't do that. You know, you have to be proficient with the radio. You have to be proficient with your speech. And you have to accept the fact that, hey, I'm going to make mistakes. But when you're on a frequency that where people are helpful and that's a good environment to do those things with, then you have somebody to say, hey, Chad, you know, just want to let you know this is the way we do. This is the way we say. And this is why we do it that way. And that makes a lot of sense. That's helpful, you know. So I do. I understand what you're saying. There's a lot of truth in that.
For a while, it's been back maybe 3 or 4 years ago, there was a thing making its rounds on Facebook called PAM Radio. And it was Prepper Amateur Radio. Now, why somebody won't do this, I don't know. But they were... Hey, this guy was selling books on everything supposedly you needed to know if you wanted to operate that radio, you know, if the apocalypse happened. I mean, I don't know why you would do that, because you're not going to know how to even use the dang equipment if you had it. I mean, the best thing to do is get the license and go on. And then another thing was, you know, I know what the other gentleman was talking about, the briar patches. It goes off in the briar patch a lot on Mitchell, especially late at night. But, you know, my thing is, you have to agree to disagree. If you get mad or whatever, if you're talking about politics, you don't need to talk about it. Just go on, forget it. But, you know, you can't bash somebody for having an opposing view. You have to just talk about it in a civilized manner and not let a temper get in the way. You know, I profess to be a conservative, but I got friends that are liberals, and we do stuff together all the time. We just don't talk about politics.
Roger that. And I think that if you're able to do that with a... maybe civil tongue is a strong word, but just remain, you know, professional with it and agree to disagree. But, you know, sometimes sometimes we can't all do that. So you know that kind of leads to, I guess, the topic of discussion tonight that Robert brought up is, you know, why don't we, you know, have, you know, debates like that on the air. The other thing that you know, want to say about that, Mr. Rowland in Pickens, he's a World War II veteran, and I stopped by and visited with him some time ago, and he was telling me that there was a time in World War II when the President of the United States shut down all ham radio activity, either during the war or before the war. And I would have to say that that probably happened for national security reasons. And, you know, you got to think about that for a minute. You're in control of a transmitting station, and you can communicate around the world. And don't you think that there's some responsibility that comes with, you know, what you say and how you say it and how you represent, if nothing but you represent your country? If everyone could do that, then, you know, there would be no issues, right?
Yeah, and there's always somebody listening. If, you know, some ham radio operators could be talking about something that's happening in the war and somebody else across the pond listening to it, I could see where that would happen. But I tell you, I think you've had a great net, and I enjoy listening to it. But, Chad, I guess that's all for me. KW4, EMF, back to net.
Appreciate you dropping by. Appreciate your comments. They're graciously accepted. Hope you have a nice evening, sir. 73s to you, and be safe. All right, any additional comments or rag to you, please call KO4NUE. Move up to Echo Link stations real quick. Echo Link stations only. Please call KO4NUE. So with that, one more time, any additional check-ins, Alpha 3 Zulu, before I close the net down, please call KO4NUE. Stand by for my net report. That's it for the evening. I enjoyed being your net controller tonight, and I'll now return the repeater back to normal amateur use. 73s to all. This is KO4NUE, and I am clear.
KW4EMF. KW4EMF. W4DJW.
KW4EMF.
Hey, Roger. It's Dave on this end. I saw where you're flying radio control airplanes. Where do you fly?
Well, there's a little field in Cowpens, South Carolina. It originally belonged to a guy named Bill Wilkins that made the field to fly his Aronica. He's got an Aronica Chief. Well, he did. He's passed away now, but it's right on Highway 29. If you coming from, say, Spartanburg, and you go through Cowpens on Highway 29, other side of Cowpens, you go over a bridge over the railroad, and it's about maybe less than half a mile on the right. I mean, the end of the field actually ends at Highway 29.
Okay. I don't recall ever being at that one. I've flown airplanes in this area for a long time, since the first time I ever went to the airfield was 1964 out at WCRC. And if you've been flying for any time, you probably know what WCRC is. But I fly over there at the Foothills Flyers. Have you ever been there?
But the name does sound familiar.
Well, it's over at the intersection of Jordan and Jug Factory Road, and where Lyman and Emin and Greer all come together over there in that area. But anyway, I just wondered where you flew at and if we'd ever cross paths over there at Foothills or WCRC. But you got a yellow J3 Cub that's almost as identical to one that I have.
I built that airplane back in, it was probably 87 or 88, somewhere along in there. Still got it today. Of course, I tore it up down here at Cowpens. I flew it into a tree and it tore the wing up. And I started building another wing, but just haven't finished it yet. Most of the flying I've been doing though is electric lately. I got a carbon Z Cub and one of those E Flight Apprentices. This all got LED lights all over it, so I'm flying at night.
Yeah, I've switched over to mostly electric myself. I've got boxes full of glow engines that I just don't use anymore. But my J3 Cub, I haven't switched it over yet. But it's upstairs in the attic because I got to doing a whole bunch of one-wheel touch-and-goes just because the J3 Cub does that so good, where you just come down on one wheel and skim the ground and then take off and go in. So the undercarriage is kind of soggy. I need to take it apart and, you know, take the covering off of it and put some new stifters in there and some new glue and tighten it all up. Plus, the engine hasn't been running so long, it probably needs some work itself. But anyway, I just saw that you do ham radio and you do RC. It's kind of unique to find people that do both of them. I just wanted to let you know that I do that. And if you ever want to come out to Foothills Flyers, let me know, and we'll go out there and meet sometime when the wind's not blowing 30 miles an hour.
Does Skip Clark fly down there?
That name sounds familiar. I don't know all the people. What happened with me was WCRC was about to lose their club about, I don't know, 10 years ago now, maybe more, 12 years ago. And Foothills Flyers was opening up at about the same time that Mr. White passed away and his children were going to sell the land where WCRC was. So I joined Foothills Flyers really quick as some insurance, some cheap insurance for having a place to fly. Stayed a member there for like 6 or 7 years before I ever went to fly there. And then took another job, and that took me away for another 6 or 7 years. And within the last 2 years, I've been going back there now. And so I haven't got to know all the people that fly there. But there are a few people there from WCRC and from Foothills, and some from, you know, down there at Triple Tree named Skip that I know of them, but I don't know them.
I know what you're saying about the wood getting all soft and everything from the glow fuel. In that J3 Cub, the front part of the fuselage, that's a Goldberg, a Carl Goldberg kit. The front part of the fuselage, the covering started coming off of it and everything, and I wanted to recover it, and I couldn't get the covering to go on it because the wood was soaked with glow fuel, so I ended up actually sheeting the front end of it with some little really thin, like 1/16, may have even been thinner than that, little thin plywood. It was almost as thin as paper.
Yeah, I soaked mine in a mixture of alcohol and baking soda, I think it was. And you spray it on, you mix it up really good, and you spray it on there, and the alcohol evaporates real quick. It's just a carrier. It just carries the baking soda inside the wood. And then it absorbs, once the alcohol's gone, it absorbs that glow fuel, and you can suck it off with a vacuum cleaner, and that balsa wood looks almost new again.
Never heard of that one. I missed the old glow fuel planes. I flew that one, I guess it's probably been 10 years ago now since I've flown it. But, I got back into flying, doing some electric stuff. Usually it was I had a little Sport Cub and one of those little bitty Aronica Champs, the little orange and yellow planes. Those that just took the little single cell battery, and then, well, I got some bigger electrics, but I wanted to get the old Cub out because it's got a four-cycle in it, and I wanted to just hear it run. And, well, over there where we fly it, we don't have any kind of tables or anything to, you know, sitting out there to put your plane up on to crank it and all that. And here I am crawling around on the ground, and I'm like, I don't know if I can do this anymore.
That is a lot harder on your knees when you hit your 50s and 60s. When you were in your 20s, 30s, and 40s, it wasn't a problem. But you hit your 50s and 60s, that starts becoming a concern. I know what you're talking about. I miss I miss two parts of the glow fuel, the glow airplanes. The sound, I think I just liked the sound. I just, and probably why my hearing is damaged now, but I just liked it. I don't know what it was about it. Some people think it's annoying, but to me it sounded really good. The two strokes or the four strokes, I liked them all, especially the two strokes that turned high RPM, the Pylon Racers, and the smell, right, of that alcohol and that nitro and that castor oil or synthetic oil. After a while we switched. But the smell of that, that when you go to a race or you go to a fly-in or you go to a competition event, competition fun fly, I'd wake up, we camp out there, and I'd wake up in the morning, somebody would already be up in the air, and you could smell that. That's the first thing you smelled in the morning. And it just, those are memories that I'll carry with me to the grave. But I don't miss cleaning them up after the end of a flying day. The castor oil dripping off of it and the Windex and the rolls of paper towel, I don't miss any of that. Not a bit.
They are messy. One of the guys at the field, he had this big, nice, I believe it was a Hangar 9 model, a big Super Cub, and a big quarter scale one. And I think it was the day I had my Cub out there. Somebody was flying low fuel. He made a comment to keep that Slimer away from his airplane.
Yeah, I can understand that. But you know, you get it tuned just right. It almost looked like a smoker, like you had a smoker on it. Anyway, I won't keep you any longer. I just saw that you like flying airplanes as well and ham radio. I just thought I'd touch base with you. If we ever go flying, sometimes we'll be on here. And if you're free and you want to go to an airfield, just let me know when we're going out. Lately, it's been rain, wind, or you know, something that's holding us back. But as soon as all that stuff is behind us, we'll be going a lot more. Anyway, it's nice to meet you. I won't keep you any longer. KW4EMF, W4DJW. I'll be clear after you.
All right. We'll talk to you a little later. It was great talking to you. 73, KW4EMF.